Okay, thank you very much. Is it working? Yeah. Thank you very much, and thank you to Marco for inviting me here. Very glad to be here. So I will actually present two papers here, which are related to stochastic targets and optimal control on the control loss. So the co-authors on the two papers are Rommel Dely, and in the first paper, there is Nizar Tousi involved in. And for the second paper, there is Cyril Imbert, who is assistant professor in Dauphine and is a specialist of viscosity solutions. So it was his first paper with applications to finance somewhere. Okay, so here is the main motivation. So also, I will look at more general dynamics. I think this is a good way to look at things. So in all my talk, why new will be essentially considered as a wealth process. So imagine you have a financial model. You have a model for your wealth process. You have some stock prices or some factors, whatever you want. And new is some trading strategy, okay? So you can have, for instance, that X, the dynamics of prices is actually impacted by the trading strategies through some impact functions or large investor models or whatever you want, okay? So imagine you have this, and the main motivation is to look at problems like contagion problems or pricing under expected loss requirements. So essentially, in finance, this means that you want to find the minimal wealth such that for some suitable hedging strategy, the expected value of some loss function, which depends typically on the price processes, it may depend on factors also, obviously it depends on your terminal wealth, is bigger than given threshold. Okay, so imagine G is the indicator function that Y is bigger than C of X, where C is a pair of functions, and this is just you want the probability of hedging a claim bigger than P. Okay, this is the first problem, and the second problem is a problem of optimal management under loss constraints. So this time you want to optimize the expected value of a function, which typically will be a utility function, which may depend on the stocks, which obviously depends on your terminal wealth, but under the restriction you have to satisfy some loss constraints. Okay? Just to be clear here, we will only be looking at constraints of this form. So this is expectation of a function of X and Y. So this means that, for instance, if you want to look at mean variance problems, okay, you don't have this formulation. Okay, so this is restrictive in some way, but in another way, if you look at any loss functions, typical loss functions, this is of this form. Okay, and there are many ways to look at these problems, so we'll come back on this later, but our aim is essentially to provide a real direct approach, okay? So try to find dynamic programming approach directly on this problem out there written here, okay? Not through a dual problem or something like that. Okay, and this requires a little bit of work on what we call stochastic target problems, so the outline will be as following. I start with stochastic target problems. I think that many of you have already heard about it. Nizar has thought about this a long time now. Then we'll pass to a stochastic target with control rules, which is related to the quantile aging problem, and which is kind of extension of this kind of problems here. And finally, I'll discuss the optimal control under target constraints. So I start with stochastic target problems, and I will use the following framework also. I will show you how it can be generalized in many directions at the end. So imagine you have a control process Z, which is actually the solution of a control system of SDEs. Here W is just a Brownian motion. And I decompose it into two parts. The first part, which is the process X. So typically this would be prices or factors in finance, which is valued in RG or the positive outcome. Okay, doesn't really matter. And then you have what will be typically your wealth process, which is a one-dimensional process, okay? And what is important in that is that it is only partially coupled. It says that in the dynamic of X, you have only X and the control, okay? While in the dynamics of Y, you have the Z process, and the Z process is X and Y. Okay, so the coupling is only through Y, and this will be important in a minute. And the control is typically a set of control consists in a square integral board, progressively measurable processes with values in some set U, subset of RD. And importantly here, it may be unbounded. Okay. And I will always use this notation. So for me, Z will always be X and Y, okay? So each time you see Z, you see actually X and Y together. Okay, and the target is, the problem is the following. We fix a set, which is given this way. This is a set of X and Y, so that a function G of X and Y is bigger than zero. And very importantly, G here is non-decreasing with respect to Y. Okay? We can withdraw this assumption, so I will discuss this later. But here, this will be important. And then what we want, essentially, is to find a way to characterize what we can call the viability set, which is the set of initial conditions, T, X, and Y, such that for a given control, this G function applied to the terminal value of your control process is bigger than zero. Okay? And because the dynamics of the X component does not depend on Y, and because the G function is non-decreasing with respect to Y, actually, if you start with a wealth Y, which satisfies this requirement, and then you start with a bigger wealth, it will also satisfy this requirement. Okay? So Y is non-decreasing with respect to its initial components. So this allows to characterize this viability set in terms of the value function, WT and X, which is the minimal condition on Y, such that TX and Y belongs to the viability set. So otherwise stated, essentially, up to continuity of the function W, the viability set is just the epigraph of the function W. Okay. Okay. So in finance, so once again, imagine that X is a model for stocks, factors. It may depend on your control. Y is your wealth. Your portfolio strategy is new. You have a payoff function C, and what you want is to superage your payoff, which you can obviously rewrite like this: G of Z bigger than zero with just this function G here, Y minus T. Okay. So this is just an extension of the usual superaging problem. Okay, and then W of TX, this is minimal wealth such that you can actually superage your payoff. Okay, so this is exactly the superaging price. Okay, so obviously in order to discuss this problem, you can, in finance typically, you can use the dual formulation for a superaging price, okay? But this means that you have kind of linear dynamics. Okay, if you have impact functions on your in your model, if you have large investors, there are many situations where things are nonlinear, and then you don't have a dual formulation for the superaging price. Okay, so the idea here is to find another way, rather than looking at dual formulation, to find another way to characterize the function W in terms of PDEs. Okay, so this is our aim. We want to derive PDEs which fully characterize the function W. And so the ideas that were introduced by Matesener and Nizartuzzi is based on what they call the geometric dynamic programming. And here I give one formulation of this theorem, which tells you the following thing, which is completely intuitive. So if you start at time t, you take a stopping time between t and capital T, and then you say, okay, if I start with a wealth, which is strictly bigger than the superaging price, then it is clear that I should find a control, such that at any, at this stopping time theta, my wealth is still above the superaging price at time theta. Okay? This is clear. Okay, so this is one part of the dynamic programming, and the other part is exactly the converse. Now imagine you start with a wealth which is strictly less than the superaging price, then there is no way you can find a control such that at time theta, your wealth is above now the superaging price, because if you are above the superaging price and some theta, this means that from time theta you can find a superaging strategy. Okay? And this means that this means that Y has to be bigger than W at the beginning. Okay. So this is really a simple principle. Also you have to prove it, but it works. And it can be seen to be rather weak, but indeed we can actually derive the PDEs associated to W just by looking at this, these two assertions. So I will briefly show you how the proof goes through, okay? Because then you will understand why we have this kind of PDEs, and also it will be important in the optimal management problem and the stochastic control target problems, okay? So I do it with the end, and I say, okay, imagine I start with a superaging price, and that from this superaging price, I can actually superage my claim, okay? The set is closed. I can find a strategy such that at any time I'm bigger than the superaging price. So formally at time t plus I'm bigger than the superaging price. Okay. okay, but the process y starts is at the beginning is equal to w, and then just after t it has to be bigger than w. So this means that the variation of y has to be bigger than the variation of w. Okay, and the variation of y is what? It is the drift. So you are exactly at time t here. Okay, so at time t x is small x, y is small y. You take the value at time t of your control. Here you have the w part. And then here you just apply Itô's lemma, so this is the Dynkin operator associated to the control diffusion x. And then, well, the variation of y has to be bigger than w, okay? You start at the same point, and then you have to be above. Okay, so what does it mean formally? Well, if you want to have such kind of inequality, it's clear that you have to match the Brownian diffusion part, otherwise there is no way you can have this. So your control nu t should be such that the volatility of the y process has to be equal to the volatility of w. Okay? And then, okay, you cancel this part, and then you'll end up with this inequality between these two terms, these two dt terms. Okay? And so your control nu has to be such that the drift of y is at least bigger than the drift of w. Okay? So formally, this gives you the following formulation. There should be a control or a value of the control which lives in this kind of kernel. So what does it mean here? This is a set of controls so that you actually cancel the volatility part of y and the volatility part of w. So remember that small y is exactly equal to w at time t. Okay? So I have replaced the small y here by the value function itself. Okay? So you have to find a control such that both terms are equal and such that the drifts are, the drift of y is bigger than this drift here. Okay, so formally you end up with kind of LGB equation where because you have at least one control, well, if you take the sum over all the controls in that set here, this should be non-negative. Okay. Now for the other way around, if you want to derive a subsolution property, we do it by contradiction. Imagine that actually the sum is strictly positive. Okay. So you can find a control nu such that it cancels the difference of the volatilities, but the difference of the drift is strictly positive. So then you need a little bit of assumption, and essentially what we assume in a very weak form, but essentially it says the same thing. Imagine that you can find, if you have this for at least one control, imagine that you can find a locally Lipschitz map, u at, such that even if you move a little bit from t, x, and w, then you stay in the corresponding kernel, meaning that you still cancel the corresponding volatility. And imagine that for this map, you actually have the difference of the drift, which is still strictly positive. Okay? So we have an assumption, which is weaker than this, but which essentially says this. Then what you do, well, if you take the Markovian control associated to u hat, and if you start with an initial wealth y, which is say w minus epsilon, so strictly less than w, what happens? If you let your process evolve, you see that the variation of y is strictly bigger than the variation of w. Why you have this? Because they have the same volatility. You cancel the volatility, so they have the same volatility, the same dw part, but the drift of y, which is this guy, is strictly bigger than the drift of w. Okay? So the increment of y are strictly bigger than the increment of w. So you start with y slightly less than w, but y grows up faster than w, so at a point, if you wait a little bit, say that with the end, if you wait a little bit, it's clear that at a point, at given stopping time, you will have y, which will finally be bigger than w. So what does it mean? You started with a wealth, say in terms of finance, you started with a wealth which is strictly less than the super aging price, and at time theta, your wealth is strictly bigger than the super aging price. Okay, and this contradicts the second part of the dynamic programming. Okay, so this is not possible. Okay, everything starts with this assumption. Okay, so this is not possible. It has to be non-negative. It has to be non-positive. So we have the supersolution property. The sup is non-negative. Now we have the subsolution property. The sup is non-positive. Okay, so these things were first proved by Metesner and Nizartuzzi. And then in the case where the set U was compact, okay? And then we extended it with Romuald Delis and Nizar again to the case where the set U is non-compact, okay? And for those who are interested in the technical things, Actually, our proof is completely different. Is highly different from the proof of Sonner and Toosey. Okay, and in fact, if you look at their argument and if you take controls which are possibly unbounded, it doesn't work at all. And surely, I mean, Nizar tried to redo his proof during months and finally gave up. So we have a different argument now for this kind of thing. Okay. So essentially, once again, the PD is the following. You have to cancel the drift for a control, such that you actually cancel the volatility. I've wrote it this way with the N epsilon. So here this is, when you cancel the volatility up to epsilon. Okay. So here you look at N zero. Actually, this PD in terms of operators on TEX, epsilon, the gradient, the Hessian, etc. This is something which is not upper semi-continuous, okay? And if you look at PDEs, if the operator is not upper semi-continuous, then you get into trouble, okay? You lose stability, you lose comparison, you lose everything. So actually, the PDE is not exactly this one. What we have to do is to consider the upper semi-continuous envelope in terms of this small parameter epsilon of this operator. So this is for the super solution property, and for the sub solution property, you look at the lower semi-continuous envelope. So upper semi-continuous for the super solution and lower for the sub-solution. Okay. a little bit of advertisement on this. I mean, the dynamic programming is principle I showed you is very robust. You can do it in very large settings. You can consider singular control. You can do almost whatever you want. Okay. You can also write it in non-Markovian settings. I mean, with given list of axioms and then you get it. Very importantly, I think, and especially now where people are very interested by impact functions and things like that, it really allows to consider nonlinear dynamics. Okay, you can also think at other applications in insurance if you add jumps to the dynamics. Okay, where you don't have the formulations, you have nonlinear dynamics, and that are interesting as well. So once again, we don't need here any dual formulation to do this. Okay, this is very general. Actually, the only assumption we make to obtain this kind of result is the assumption on the UART I told you, kind of assumption on this, and then just the coefficients are locally Lipschitz. This is the only thing we need. Okay, in the case where X and Y are fully coupled, meaning that the dynamics of X actually depends on the dynamic of Y, you can actually do essentially the same thing. Okay, but then you cannot define the function W because the set D is not directed at work. But you can work with the value function W of T and Z now, so not only X, but X and Y, which is the indicator function that T, Z belongs to the variability set. So D is a set such that you can reach the target, okay? In terms of viscosity solution, also this function is completely discontinuous. I mean, this is not a problem. Everything is stated in terms of discontinuous viscosity solution anyway, okay? But at the end, I mean, you will have a PDE, and certainly for this PDE, you won't have a comparison, because if you had a comparison, it would mean that this indicator function would be a constant. Okay? So, at the end, I don't know what you can do in terms of numerics on this. But, okay, you can derive PDEs if you want, by using exactly the same tools. As I said before, you can extend this to many kind of control problems. I had already a paper on GEMS, in the case where controls are unbounded. Ludovic Moreau, a student of mine, is working on the case where controls are unbounded and you have an additional relaxation on the jump part. You can also consider American types constraints. So instead of wanting a constraint only at time capital T, you can say I want something for any time up to time capital T, and with a student of mine we extended the dynamic programming principle for this. You can look at phase constraints. Actually Min Dong, who is somewhere here, is working on this. You can do singular control, you can do whatever you want. Okay. So now I come to a stochastic target with control loss. Now we look at the following problem. Instead of looking at a condition like G of Z capital T is bigger than zero, P almost surely, we just want to have a constraint in expectation. Okay. So now, if I still use this notation D for the variability set, I look for the initial condition TZ, such that for a control, I get this condition satisfied for a given P. Okay, so now D depends on P. Uh, And there, for the same model as before, I can define the value function, which is minimal y such that you belong to the variability set. But obviously now it depends on p as well. And typical examples in finance, as I told you before, if you take, for instance, g of x, y, which is the indicator function that y is bigger than p of x, and p is a payoff of some option, you take p between 0 and 1, then expectation of g bigger than p just gives you that the probability of your wealth end up above the payoff is bigger than p. So this is exactly quantilogy. Other case, you take, so it should be convex, typically convex non-decreasing function, and you take L of the negative part, so this is the error of edging here, negative part of y minus c, and then saying that the expectation of g is bigger than p is nothing else than saying that the expected value of your, so the loss function taken at your error of edging is less than the threshold minus p. Okay? Okay, so essentially motivated by the quantilogy problem we looked a long time ago with Nizar as a way to use the same procedure as before for stochastic target problems to try to extend it to this problem. And to explain how it works, I will consider for a minute only the quantilogy problem. So I look at the minimal wealth such that the probability of edging my option is bigger than p. Okay. So can we rephrase the dynamic programming I showed you before for stochastic targets? If we could rephrase it exactly, it would look like this. I take a stopping time, and the variability set corresponding to the threshold p should be the set of initial conditions such that I can find a control, such that at time theta, I'm in the variability set. Okay, this is what we had before. So, meaning that if your wealth at time t is bigger than the value function, so the tipper edging price, then at time theta you are still bigger. Okay, now since you look at a constraint only in probability, it's clear that it cannot work. Okay, it's clear it cannot work. What does it mean here? If you are in that set p, this means that the probability at time t of reaching the of super edging the claim is say p. Okay, bigger than p, so you have exactly p. Now at time theta, imagine that you use exactly here the new, which is the optimal edging policy. At time theta, it's clear that view from time theta, now your probability of edging your claim is no more p. Okay, what is this probability? This is the conditional probability that you edge your claim given that you use this strategy. Okay, and this conditional probability obviously has evolved. So there is no way this can be correct. Okay. Okay, but if you say now that here you should replace actually p by the conditional probability, then you just do it. Okay, this should be true. Okay, at time p you have a probability which is p. At time theta you have a probability which is what? Which is your conditional probability. Okay, and now there is a small trick, which is to say, okay, if you look at the process which corresponds to the conditional probability for a new fixed, okay, then this is a Martingale. Okay, so you can use Martingale representation. Okay, there is some alpha, square integrable process, predictable process, alpha, such that p theta is just the initial condition on your probability plus this Martingale part. Okay, so what do you have at the end? Well, there is a slide missing or? Okay, so I just rephrase everything. So at the end, what you should find is actually, so finally, what you need here is not only to find a new such that you end up in a given set, you also have to choose the alpha. Okay? Okay? There is not only a new such that theta, z theta belongs to a given set, but now there is a new and an alpha such that theta, z theta belongs to the set D, p theta, where p theta is related by this alpha this way. Okay? So I will rephrase it. Otherwise stated, the dynamic programming looks like this. If you start with a price which is sufficient to edge your option with this level of probability p, then you should not only find your edging strategy, but in a way you should also find the control for your conditional probability, such that for any stopping time you will have that your wealth belongs to the set such that you can actually hedge from sine theta your claim with a probability which corresponds to this level here. So instead of having only one control nu, now you have two controls. And you have a new process P, which is a new control process, which corresponds to this Martingale representation and which essentially corresponds to your conditional probability. So I will rewrite it in the more general case. So if you go back to the general case, you look at initial conditions such that for a control, the expected value of G is bigger than P. Well, finding nu such that this is satisfied is exactly the same thing as finding nu and alpha such that this condition is satisfied P almost surely. Okay? Just think at P as being the Martingale representation of this conditional expectation. Okay? This is clearly the same thing. Okay? If you have this, you take expectation both parts. So from this, you take expectation, you get this. Imagine that here you have exactly P. So this is equal to P. Then you consider the Martingale representation of this conditional expectation, and from this you end up with this. Okay? So finally, we started with a problem which is not, which is given as, with a condition which is not Peyre-Mosch sure, and we end up with a problem where now we have a Peyre-Mosch sure constraint. Okay? So, I mean, this is exactly the stochastic target problems I showed you before. The only difference is that now I have a new control process, and I have a new control alpha. I just do this. Okay? So now you can write exactly the same PDE as before, but you have to increase the set of your control processes and the set of controls. So W will be a viscosity solution. You have exactly the same thing, the drift of Y. Now you have the Dinking operator with respect to X and the Martingale process P, okay, which is controlled by U and alpha. And the volatility you have to cancel is the difference between the volatility on Y and the volatility of your value function, where now you let P evolve. So there is a part coming from X and the other part coming from the new P control, the new P process. Okay. So the reason why we actually extended the previous result on stochastic targets constrained by Sonner and Tuzzi to the case where controls are unbounded comes exactly from this motivation. Because even if you take your original control U to be valued in a, say, compact set, okay, the new control alpha, it comes from the representation theorem. Okay, so you have no control on it. So if you want to be able to say things on these problems, you have to consider first stochastic target problems where you don't have bounds on your controls. Okay? And just a word, well, to be honest, at the end, these PDEs, except on examples, are quite ugly. You see, you have kind of RGB equation where you take a SERP over a set of controls which depends on the value function. It depends on the gradient of the value function. Okay, this is something very not nice. One of the controls is unbounded. And you see, the way you can bound this control is when the derivative with respect to P of the value function is non-zero. Okay? But imagine you have a sequence of points where it is always strictly positive and then goes to zero. This clearly creates a high discontinuity in the operator over there. Okay? Because if it is not zero, then alpha is obviously bounded. Say U is bounded, for instance. Then alpha is bounded. But, I mean, if this guy is zero, then alpha can be whatever you want. You have no more constraints. So this creates discontinuity on the PDE. Okay, so all this to say that we have a PDE characterization now, but we have no general comparison theorem for this, except in examples. At least up to now, all the cases I've looked in finance, I could manage to have a comparison theorem. So, but for the general PDE, I don't know. In the paper with Nizar and Rommel, we also we discussed a simple case where you look at quantile aging problems in Black-Scholes type models, okay? And from the PDE I gave you before, things simplifies, and you can actually from the PDE recover the result of Merle and Leckert, okay, and have an explicit solution for the quantile aging problem, which has already been solved, but it shows that with these PDEs you can actually do something. On some examples. Okay. Little bit of advertisement again. So once again, here we don't need any dual formulation. So another thing which we could do is to say, we look at the minimal initial wealth that this quantity is bigger than the threshold P. So what some people do is that they fix the initial wealth Y, they compute the maximum of this, and then they invert the problem looking for the initial wealth you should put in your optimization problem such that the maximal expectation is equal to P. Okay, this is a way to solve the problem. And this is essentially which is what is done in the Fenmer and Lecaq paper. If you have explicit solution for this optimization problem, then it's fine. Otherwise, you have to derive some LGB equation for this. Okay, you have to solve it in terms of wealth with the wealth parameter, and then you have to invert the value function. So in terms of numerics, you first solve the LGB equation, then you invert it. Okay. What we wanted to do is really to give one LGB equation, okay, which directly solves the problem. There is no numerical inversion involved in what we're doing. In particular, if you come back on the PDE, something which is kind of funny is that if you, in specific examples, you have something which is nicer here, and if you do a verification argument, you find the optimal control nu and alpha, actually from this PDE, you can actually simulate the dynamics of your conditional probability or conditional expectation, which is something which comes from this PDE formulation. Okay. Another way to do this, and I discussed with Berata, who is over there, just yesterday and this morning on this, and I think he's working on this with Caracas, is to say, imagine you want the expected value of this guy to be bigger than P, and you know that this is essentially now the same thing as saying that G is equal to the martingale, which is added, which I have added previously. Okay, so imagine that G is invertible in the Y component. Okay. For quantile aging, this is not clear, but for many other problems, for loss functions, for instance, it's clear. Then what you have to do is actually be sure that your terminal wealth is just G minus 1, so the inverse with respect to Y, of X and P. Okay. So now how you compute the minimal initial wealth you need in order for this to be satisfied, and remember that it has to be satisfied only for a given alpha. Okay, I have to find an alpha and a nu such that it is satisfied. Well, if you fix alpha, then you have to start with the wealth, which is a sub over all the martingale measures. So you are in finance of this guy. Okay, I forget this continuum. And now you can choose the alpha. So what you could do is to look at the problem, you minimize over all the alpha, the sub over all the martingale measures. Okay, so I don't know whether this is exactly what you do, but yeah, okay. And then you have a game problem, standard game problem. Okay, so this should connected exactly to the function W I have introduced before. Okay, but viewed as a game problem now. For this, you still need to be more or less in a financial context, meaning that I'm saying here that the price of this claim is the sub of all the martingale measures. Okay, so this is a restriction on what you can do. Another way to look at this, if you want to have more nonlinear structures, would be to look at BSDs. Okay? Imagine now your wealth has a dynamics with a drift, which is given by Y, and something which controls your Brownian diffusion parts. Okay? So what you want is that your terminal wealth should be equal to G of X capital T, G minus 1, X capital T, P alpha capital T, and then you have the drift parts, and then you have the control on the Brownian motion. So finally, now for given alpha, if you want to look at your wealth process, you have to look, you have to solve a BSD. Okay? And once again, you can choose the alpha. So in some sense, you have to look at the minimal solution. It's not the minimal solution. You have to look at this. You have to look at the process which corresponds to the insertion length over all the solution of these BSDs. Okay? And if you look at time t, this means that you have already been using the control alpha up to time t. So you look at the infimum over all controls which coincide with alpha up to time t. Okay? And this is the BSD point of view for this problem, actually. And if everything works well, this guy at time zero should be exactly the value function I'm looking at. Okay? So I'm particularly interested in that, but I have only starting to work on this 2 days ago, so nothing more to say on this. But this will be a nonlinear version of this problem. Also, it's not completely nonlinear, because you see here you can have nonlinearities in the driver, but still you are linear with respect to your control on the Brownian motion. So imagine you consider a model, a financial model with impact functions and things like that. Okay, you won't end up with a model like this. Okay, you will have something more complex here. Okay, so maybe this function will be able to invert it or whatever, but still you have a restriction because of this linear term here. Okay, but I think this is a interesting thing to look at. I mean, this way we are constructing some kinds of BSDs where the terminal condition is given only in terms of moments instead of given random variable. It's funny, actually, I think. Okay, so now I turn to the last part on optimal control on the target constraints. So now, with this result, we'd like to look at stochastic targets. Okay. So now we want to look at the value function big V, which is the SERP of the expected value of a function, typically a utility function of the terminal process Z. But there is a constraint on the admissible control, and typically the constraint can be of the form, well, I want that my process Z satisfies an homomorphic constraint at time capital T. Okay, this can be this. This can be also a constraint, so same maximization problem, but now the set of admissible constraints, has to coincide with controls which have to satisfy a condition now in moments. But from what I just told you before, it's clear that if I know how to discuss this problem, I know also how to discuss this one, okay? Because I increase the dimension and I'm back to this kind of problems. Okay. So I will concentrate on the first one, but before I think I have examples. Yeah. Kind of examples. For instance, you want to maximize your expected utility, but you have a constraint in terms of, I don't know, maybe you want absolutely to edge some option. Or maybe you want to perform better than a given index, okay? So you want to be better than 90% of a given index, okay? You can rewrite it like this. And same thing with a given threshold. So for instance, you want to be better than 90% of a given index with probability, I don't know, 95%, for instance. You can also have, this is more risk control, risk oriented. For instance, you maximize your expected utility, but you want that the expected loss of your terminal wealth after paying some claim, for instance, is bounded from above by a given threshold. Okay, so all these problems enter into that framework up to augmenting, up to increasing the dimension of the control process. Okay, so now I focus on this one. And first, a word on this. Actually, the whole idea is to say, okay, I want to take the SERP of our control so that this condition is satisfied, okay? But the set of controls so that this set condition is satisfied, okay, I mean, say it other way. The definition of the variability set, which is a set of initial, is exactly the set of initial conditions such that the set of controls such that you can actually reach your target is non-empty. Okay? So, what does it mean, this constraint here? This just means that your controls should be such that your process, okay, always belongs to this variability set. Okay? Because if you are in the variability set because of the geometric dynamic programming, you know that if you are in that set D, you can find a control which allows you to satisfy the terminal constraint. Okay? But if you exit the set D, then there is no way you can find a control which allows you to satisfy your terminal constraint. So at the end, this, the set of admissible controls is a set of controls such that this guy is always in the set D. Okay? And remember, maybe I should write it more clearly. The set D was a set of TYX such that Y is bigger than W of TX. Okay? So you, in finance, your wealth is bigger than the supraging price. Okay? You have to stay in the set. So at the end, we just have a kind of state constraint problem. Okay? But people that have worked on state constraint problem consider the following setting. They first fix a set. Okay? And then they say, I want to optimize terminal value, expected value of something, given that my process has to stay in that set. Okay? But they set, they give the set from the beginning. And then they put condition on the set such that, well, it's clear you don't want to exit the set. So when you reach the boundary, you need to have some controls which are inward pointing. Okay? okay, when we reach a boundary, you need to find control so that you can actually stay in the set. And so in state constraint problem, what people do is first fix the set and then put condition on the dynamics and the set and the geometry of the set such that, well, you can be reflected on the boundary of the set. Here this is very different. Here this is very different because the set is not given a priori. The set is given by actually the epigraph of the W function, which is related to the stochastic target problems. Yeah. Okay. So we first have to solve this problem. Okay. And once we have solved this problem, we can define the set. But the good point with that set, contrary to what is done in the usual set constraint literature, is that if you remind the PDE for the function W, actually the set is exactly made so that when you reach the boundary, you can actually find always a control so that you stay inside the domain. Okay? So we don't have to put conditions. We don't know the set a priori, but we have to construct it, but we don't have to put conditions on the set. Okay? The set has good properties right from the beginning. The only difference, and this is important for comparison theorem, is that typically, on that set, imagine you are in the Black-Scholes framework and your constraint is just that you want to edge a call option. Okay, say that. What happens? Well, first of all, the set is more an epigraph, see something like that. And what happens? When your wealth reaches the boundary, you are exactly equal to the Black-Scholes price. What happens? Then your optimal control is actually to be such, to do such that your wealth is always equal to this price. Okay? Black-Scholes model, your wealth should be equal to the price. So actually, you are not reflected inside the domain. Okay? You evolve in a tangent way, okay? You evolve on the boundary of the domain. Okay? And if you look at the PDEs, actually there is no way, you have no control so that you can go inside the domain. You are stuck to the boundary of the domain. And in terms of comparison results, this is a main concern, a major concern, because all the comparison theorem I know for state constraint problem are based on the idea that you always have at least one control, which is strictly involved. Okay, so this is kind of different things. Okay, so in order to be able to say something, we actually have to impose a condition, which is important in the paper, is that the value function W, which corresponds to the stochastic target problem, is continuous. Okay, okay, and has a continuous extension up to the boundary. Okay, it's not continuous up to the boundary, but it has a continuous extension, and in most applications, this is satisfied. And then I go very quickly, you divide your set D, and then D is exactly this thing, because W is continuous, and then you can divide it into three parts, the interior, okay, the boundary in terms of the space variable, when Y is just equal to W, and then the boundary condition at capital T. So for the interior and the terminal condition, things are pretty clear. If you start with a Y, which is strictly bigger than W, because W is continuous, if you do whatever you want, locally, you can do whatever you want. You take any control, you can always find a stopping time, because everything is continuous, so that your process Y is still strictly bigger than W. Okay, because you start, everything is continuous. And from that stopping time, okay, you can find a control which ensures you to stay in the domain, because Y is bigger than W at that stopping time. So locally, you can do whatever you want. Okay? So what does it mean in terms of RGB equation? It just means that you have the usual RGB equation in the interior of the domain. There is no constraints appearing. As for the terminal condition, well, this is technical stuff, but typically you expect to get the terminal function safe. So nothing special. What happens now on the boundary when you are exactly on this boundary here, so Y is exactly W, well, here you have to be careful because you need to stay inside the domain. So you need to have Y always at least bigger than W. So if at time T you are exactly equal to W, your process Y should have increased, which is bigger than the increase of W. Okay, you always have to stay above, and here you are just equal. So now if you do exactly the same thing I showed you for stochastic target problems, well, you see that your control should be such that you have to cancel the difference of the volatilities of Y and W. This is this first equation here. And then the drift of Y has to be bigger than the drift of W. This is the second equation here. And this gives you a set of admissible controls when you are at the boundary. Okay? So not surprisingly, you will have on the boundary a constraint RGB equation, where now you have the standard RGB equation, but you can look only at controls which satisfy this requirement. Okay. This is here technical stuff. The only point I could say, only thing I could say, is that here, when I write this, I mean I'm talking about the derivative of W and the Hessian of W, but I have only assumed that W is continuous. Okay, so this does not make sense. So in the PDE here, actually you cannot work with W itself. So for V, you look at this in the viscosity sense, so you have test function for V, but you need test function for W also. Okay. So in some way, the equation of V and W, you can see this as a system of viscosity solutions, okay, which is coupled via the boundary here. Okay, this is what is written here, but this is not really important. Okay, just one last word. You can see. Okay, sorry. Under Milde assumptions, when you are okay, I will write it here. Under Milde assumptions, but which are not crazy in finance, when you are at the boundary, you're looking at the value function at point Tx and y is equal to Wtx. Okay? It turns out that in this case, you can actually perform a change of variable and look at this function in terms of t and x. So you replace y by Wt and x. And this function satisfies a given PDE. Okay? So finally, at the end, if everything works well, what you do to solve this problem, you first look at the PDE for W, you solve the PDE for the W function. This gives you actually the domain D. Then you solve the PDE associated to this new function. This gives you actually the function V at Tx and Wtx. So this is on the boundary. And this is a Dirichlet condition. Okay. And then you just have to solve the RGB equation for V in the interior of the domain with that Dirichlet condition here. Okay. And the terminal condition. So in good cases, everything, I mean, is pretty simple. Okay. So these are the two papers I was talking about, and here this is the paper where you have the version of the stochastic target problem for American options, I mean, American type. Thank you very much.